right, welcome to this Divine Office morning prayer celebration with Dana. Here we are. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. And we're going to pray with scripture. We're going to be attentive to the scriptural words that we're saying. And we're going to let God speak to us through them and also to help us form words to pray back to God, to let these words form us in our prayer. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. So here we go. We're going to begin this season, this week, just an ordinary day, an ordinary time, no special occasions that I know of. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. And we begin thanking God for all the guidance of the Holy Spirit and all the ways, even if we, perhaps as I often do, feel like I thought I knew what the right course of action was, but it doesn't really matter. You know, God is always surprising me with what he expects during the day and always calling me to patience and to renewed prayer. So thank God as we begin the hymn. Eternal Father, through your word, you gave new life to Adam's race, transformed them into sons of light, new creatures by your saving grace. To you who stooped to sinful man, we render homage and all praise, to Father, Son, and Spirit blessed, whose gift to man is endless days. This is a really nice, uplifting morning prayer, Psalm 57 with Antiphon 1. Awake, lyre and harp, with praise let us awaken the dawn. Morning prayer in time of affliction. This psalm tells of our Lord's passion, St. Augustine. Have mercy on me, God, have mercy, for in you my soul has taken refuge. In the shadow of your wings I take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I call to God, the Most High, to God who has always been my help. May he send from heaven and save me, and shame those who assail me. Awake, lyre and harp, with praise let us awaken the dawn. May God send his truth and his love. My soul lies down among lions, who would devour the sons of men. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongue a sharpened sword. O God, arise above the heavens, may your glory shine on earth. They laid a snare for my steps, my soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but fell in it themselves. My heart is ready, O God, my heart is ready. I will sing your praise. Awake, my soul, awake, lyre and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will thank you, Lord, among the peoples, among the nations I will praise you, for your love reaches to the heavens and your truth to the skies. Awake, lyre and harp, with praise let us awaken the dawn. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, send your mercy and your truth to rescue us from the snares of the devil, and we will praise you among the peoples and proclaim you to the nations, happy to be known as companions of your Son. So that was the optional psalm prayer that helps us pray from the inspired prayer of the Psalms in words of our own, in more specific intentions, even though reciting it, as St. Benedict says, not with your mind far away thinking of something else, but reciting it meditatively and contemplatively becomes its own prayer. Glory to the Father, and you do apply it to yourself mentally as you're doing it. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So it's a little bit different than the glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. They just had to be different. The Liturgy Commission just had to be different. Don't ask me why. Awake, lyre and harp, with praise let us awaken the dawn. Antiphon 2. My people, says the Lord, will be filled with my blessings. Isn't that beautiful? And our prayer is from Jeremiah 31, the happiness of a people who have been redeemed. Jesus was to die to gather God's children into one fold, John 11:51-52. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it on distant coasts and say, he who scattered Israel now gathers them together. He guards them as a shepherd his flock. The Lord shall ransom Jacob. He shall redeem him from the hand of his conqueror. Shouting, they shall mount the heights of Zion. They shall come streaming to the Lord's blessings. The grain, the wine, the oil, the sheep, and the oxen. They themselves shall be like watered gardens. Never again shall they languish. Then the virgins shall make merry and dance, and young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will console and gladden them after their sorrows. I will lavish choice portions upon the priests, and my people shall be filled with my blessings, says the Lord. Beautiful proclamation of God's word. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My people, says the Lord, will be filled with my blessings. Antiphon 3. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. Psalm 48. Thanksgiving, not 49, which is what I was about to say, but 48. Thanksgiving for the people's deliverance. He took me up a high mountain and showed me Jerusalem, God's holy city. Revelation 21:10. So it gives us, okay, when we see the city of the great king, Jerusalem, we pray with the heavenly Jerusalem and with the church in mind. So that's basically one implication of the sentence here from scripture or tradition. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain rises in beauty, the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, true pole of the earth, the great king's city. God, in the midst of its citadels, has shown himself its stronghold. For the kings assembled, together they advanced. They saw, at once they were astonished. Dismayed, they fled in fear. A trembling seized them there, like the pangs of birth. By the east wind, you have destroyed the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of our God, in the city of the Lord of multitudes, which God upholds forever. O God, we ponder your love within your temple. Your praise, O God, like your name, reaches to the ends of the earth. With justice your right hand is filled. Mount Zion rejoices. The people of Judah rejoice at the sight of your judgments. Walk through Zion, walk all around it. Count the number of its towers. Review all its ramparts, examine its castles, that you may tell the next generation that such is our God forever and always. It is he who leads us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And I will improvise a prayer. based on this inspired prayer. Father, the kingdom of God finds its social expression in the city of the living God, the city of God that remains forever. In our homes and our churches, we see, again, it is like a temple, and you have enclosed us in with so many reasons for protection. We indeed, whether in the secular or the sacred realms, have so many shepherds and so many practices, especially, that hedge us in for protection. Help us to learn to be patient with you, to be led by you, to make decisions with you, to learn the value of silence and contemplation, and to slow down during our days of decision-making and speaking, so that you can again hedge us in, and you can protect us from our own impatience and guide us better. Thus we become a royal priesthood, living stones built into a holy and spiritual temple, Christ himself, and his body, his sacramental body, his sacrament of salvation, as the church says, his body, the church. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. Now we're going to substitute the short reading from Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, for the longer reading from the Office of Readings for the optional lectionary. Again, we get some new things, kind of like if you've ever done video games, sometimes they have an expansion pack where you get more games, and that's just kind of the cute, youthful way that I like to think of the optional lectionary for the Liturgy of the Hours. So the reading is from the book of Genesis. It is chapter 4, The Consequences of Sin, is the caption. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to Abel, his brother, Let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me this day away from the ground, and from thy face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will slay me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who came upon him should kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mahujajel. Mahujajel, the father of Methujajel, and Methujajel, the father of Lamach. And Lamach took two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the other was Zillah. Adah bore Jabel. He was the father of all who dwell in tents and have cattle. His brother's name was Jabel. He was the father of all who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Namatha. Lamach said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech." Lamech, "Hearken to what I say. I have slain a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, "God has appointed for me another child instead of Abel, for Cain slew him." To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So, yes, you can see quite a bit was going on with the ancient names there. I actually took some time to look those up and try to do a good job on the pronunciation, though I apologize if they were a little bit off at points. And also, the land of Nod, where Cain resides, there's something to the name of that, too, because scholars tell us in Hebrew, Nod is related to and means wandering, so it's like the land of wandering east of Eden. Now we're taking our second reading from the letter of St. Clement, Pope, to the letter from Rome to Corinth, the letter of the Church of Rome to the letter of the Church at Corinth, as it's sometimes called. "For this reason, righteousness and peace are now far departed from you, inasmuch as everyone abandons the fear of God and has become blind in his faith, neither walks in the ordinances of his appointment, nor acts as a part becoming a Christian, but walks after his own wicked lusts, resuming the practice of an unrighteous and ungodly envy, by which death itself entered into the world. For thus it is written, 'And it came to pass after certain days that Cain brought of the fruits of the earth a sacrifice unto God, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of his sheep, and of the fat thereof. And God had respect to Abel and to his offerings, but Cain and his sacrifices he did not regard. And Cain was deeply grieved, and his countenance fell. And God said to Cain, "Why are you grieved, and why is your countenance fallen? If you offer rightly, but do not divide rightly, have you not sinned? Be at peace, your offering returns to yourself, and you shall again possess it." And Cain said to Abel his brother, "Let us go into the field." And it came to pass, while they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. You see, brethren, how envy and jealousy led to the murder of a brother. Through envy, also, our father Jacob fled from the face of Esau, his brother. Envy made Joseph be persecuted unto death and to come into bondage. Envy compelled Moses to flee from the face of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, when he heard these words from his fellow countrymen, "Who made you a judge or a ruler over us? Will you kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" On account of envy, Aaron and Miriam had to make their abode without the camp. Envy brought down Dothan and Abinoam alive to Hades through the sedition which they incited against God's healer, Moses. Through envy, David not only underwent the hatred of foreigners, but was also persecuted by Saul, king of Israel. But not to dwell upon ancient examples, let us come to the most recent heroes. Let us take the noble examples furnished in our own generation. Through envy and jealousy, the greatest and most righteous pillars of the church have been persecuted and put to death. Let us set before our eyes the illustrious apostles. Peter, through unrighteous envy, endured not only one or two, but numerous labors, and when he had at length suffered martyrdom, departed to the place of glory due to him. Owing to envy, Paul also obtained the reward of patient endurance, after being seven times thrown into captivity, compelled to flee, and stoned. After preaching both in the East and the West, he gained the illustrious reputation due to his faith. having taught righteousness to the whole world, and come to the extreme limit of the West, and suffered martyrdom under the perfects. Thus he was removed from the world, and went into the holy place, having proved himself a striking example of patience. So it appears I forgot the responsory prayer, but we'll do it now. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and only through your will they were created and have being. You created everything that is, heaven and earth, and all that the heavens hold within their span. For you created all things, and only through your will they were created and have being. Now we're going to go on to the next part of morning prayer, which is the Canticle of Zechariah. Let us serve the Lord in holiness, and he will save us from our enemies. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us serve the Lord in holiness, and he will save us from our enemies. Intercessions. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the light of another day. In return, we thank him as we cry out, Lord, bless us and bring us close to you. You offered yourself in sacrifice for our sins. Accept our intentions and our work today. You bring us joy by the light of another day. Let the morning star rise in our hearts. Give us strength to be patient with those we meet today and so imitate you. Make us aware of your mercy this morning, Lord, and let your strength be our delight. We want to again pray for all the people in most jeopardy that we are most obligated to pray for at this time, and for us to turn our hearts back, especially as different disasters are going on. May they become occasions for us to turn our hearts back to you and to truly love our brothers and sisters. Lord, bless us and bring us close to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All-powerful and ever-living God, hear our prayer. Help us to know your will. Hear our prayers. Help us to know your will and to have the courage and faith to do it. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Again, since chapters like this are so foundational to our faith, I want to read you some catechism paragraphs that the Church has cited. So there's also a great reflection by Monsignor Charles Pope. Not the Pope, but Monsignor Charles, last name, surnamed Pope, who is one of the great preachers of our time, that I posted this morning elsewhere explaining this. But anyway, here we go. Each of the sexes is an image of the power and tenderness of God, with equal dignity, though in a different way. The union of man and woman in marriage is a way of imitating in the flesh the Creator's generosity and fecundity. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. All generations proceed from this union. In the account of Abel's murder by his brother Cain, Scripture reveals the presence of anger and envy in man, consequences of original sin. From the beginning of human history, man has become the enemy of his fellow man. God declares the wickedness of this fratricide. What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground. which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. The covenant between God and mankind is interwoven with reminders of God's gift of human life and man's murderous violence. For your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. The Old Testament always considered blood a sacred sign of life. This teaching remains necessary for all time. Prayer is lived in the first place, beginning with the realities of creation. The first 9 chapters of Genesis describes this relationship with God as an offering of the firstborn of Abel's flock, as the invocation of the divine name at the time of Enosh, and as walking with God. Noah's offering is pleasing to God, who blesses him and through him all creation, because his heart was upright and undivided. Noah, like Enoch, before him, walks with God. This kind of prayer is lived by many righteous people in all religions. In his indefectible covenant with every living creature, God has always called people to prayer, but it is above all, beginning with our father Abraham, that prayer is revealed in the Old Testament. Every act directly willed is imputable to its author. Thus the Lord asked Eve after the sin in the garden, "What is this that you have done?" He asked Cain the same question. The prophet Nathan questioned David in the same way after he committed adultery with the wife of Uriah and had him murdered. An act can be indirectly voluntary when it results from negligence regarding something one should have known or done, for example, an accident arising from ignorance of traffic laws. The catechetical tradition also recalls that there are sins that cry to heaven: the blood of Abel, the sin of the Sodomites, the cry of the people oppressed in Egypt, the cry of the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan, injustice to the wage earner. And then there is one paragraph cited that you can look up later, 2268, that describes that a little bit more. Fifth commandment forbids direct and intentional sin, killing as gravely sinful. The murderer and those who cooperate voluntarily in murder commit a sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance. Infanticide, fratricide, parricide, and the murder of a spouse are especially grave crimes by reason of the natural bonds which they break. Concern for eugenics or public health cannot justify any murder, even if commanded by public authority. Creation is lived in the first place, beginning with the realities of creation. The first 9 chapters of Genesis describe this relationship with God as an offering of... We just did that. Okay, so there's quite a few paragraphs there, and this is just a beautiful chapter. Again, it's like the descent into even more reproduction of the sin of Adam and Eve, of the envy that perhaps we can see occasioning the relationship with God and with each other. And it's just going to be repeating this same pattern, envying your partner or your sibling so that they reach a new level of depravity, this time the first murder. Sometimes people bring up this passage in regard to the death penalty. And it's true that there's something to that in the sense that God wants to preserve the sinner's life so that he will have time to repent, but it's not universally true that God is against the death penalty, and this is clear by the church's history of teaching that the death penalty is permissible. However, in these times when so much has gone wrong in the world, we're preferring the medicine of mercy, and it's a discretionary judgment that we hope to work so that criminals can have more time to repent rather than have a deterrent effect. Now, at the same time, does that mean it's the same thing to execute a murderer as to kill a baby? No, it doesn't. One is gravely and always wrong. The other is something that we try very hard to avoid because God cherishes human life always, no matter what, but is sometimes necessary to protect other life. So I hope you have a blessed rest of your day and you take to heart what our church has told us in the Catechism.